You're going to find a job. It's just, is it the right job for you? Am I going to be excited? Am I going to love what I'm doing? Which another good thing to ask is, can I shadow before I make a decision? Because something might look really good on paper, but when you get there, the reality is a lot different. So go spend a whole day and figure out, is this the right thing for me?
We headed south and got cocky with the Gamecocks of the University of South Carolina. See what I did there? We went to USC for a live show, talked to some faculty, some students, some fellow podcast hosts, and it sounded a little bit like this. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs seeking certification for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, plus the equipment you need to apply it. Check out owensrecoveryscience.com for information, plus see where they're going to be next.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
This is
the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have traveled south, another stop on the PT Pinecast College World Tour. University of South Carolina, this guy, like it, leading the charge. Bringing up a colleague of mine from Fox Rehabilitation. I'm actually the director of communications for a large physical therapy practice. That's what I get to do. I get to play podcast every day and share information. And introduce yourself.
I'm Connie Lewis.
Connie Lewis, mm-hmm. Thank you for joining me. Connie, what do you do? What's your background?
I am a physical therapist.
Yeah.
I am the PT Mentor Service Coordinator for Fox Rehab. I have my GCS. I'm still a clinician. I treat in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in the room with her, I know I'm the dumbest guy in the room. It's one of those. So you mentioned GCS, you mentioned PT, but what you said in the middle of there, I want to focus on, which is mentorship.
Yes.
It's a topic that comes up a lot online, especially with students, people pulling different ways. And I wanted you to talk about overall what students or new grads or really anybody, you know, looking to, you know, look, be in a room that's everybody else is smarter than you. What are some things people should seek out in terms of mentorship that'll really help their career?
Well, I actually wanted to ask the third years who all has even thought about a mentorship in
after school. Show of hands.
Don't all raise them. Has anyone?
No. Because I'll be honest, it's really comforting to have professors down the hall that you can just kind of, they were like my security blanket. Mm. I'll ask them the question down the hall and I'll always have an answer and somebody answer me. And that goes away when you graduate.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys are probably just hoping to pass your boards and get some kind of job and don't really care.
Hashtag 732. Yeah.
But you should, because you are probably going to be a little bit nervous or anxious and excited when you first start your job. And looking at programs that have mentorships can be really meaningful. Things that you might want to ask, how are mentors assigned? Is it just somebody that's closest location-wise, and here's your mentor, ask them questions whenever you have a question?
You want your mentor to be like, hey, I'd like to be a mentor, not,
yeah.
Oh, crap, I have to be a mentor.
Because you are going to have lots of questions in the beginning, no matter where you start or you should. Going to a place that the mentor actually applies to be a mentor. They want to teach. They want a mentor. They want to give it back in that way.
So the theme that I heard there was ask the questions before you start so you know
yes.
what that's going to be like. Because what, pop quiz, what is the unemployment rate in physical therapy? Anybody know? 0.7%. So be choosy because you can. So don't take the first job that pops up. Be really choosy, and asking a question like that would be
good.
Yeah,
you're going to find a job. It's just, is it the right job for you?
Right. So an interview should be two ways. It's not,
yes.
can I win this job? Am I going to mm-hmm. be successful and land this job? It's, is this job going to fulfill me? Am I going to want to jump out of bed on Monday morning and do it?
Yeah, am I going to be excited? Am I going to love what I'm doing? Because certainly you're not going to want to get up and go to work every day if you're miserable and hate it. Which another good thing to ask is, can I shadow? Before I make a decision.
Try before you buy.
Right, because something might look really good on paper, but it's, when you get there, the reality is a lot different. So, and if someplace says that you can't shadow or it's not an option, that's a red flag to me.
Sketch city.
Yeah, go spend a half day, go spend a whole day and figure out, is this the right thing for me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on mentoring? Well, I mean, you mentor students and well, I shouldn't say students, new grads in their first year practice at Fox. Mm-hmm. What are some things that, I mean, there's got to be some pretty cool moments watching someone gain confidence over the first year because they weren't thrown to the wolves?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm lucky enough, fortunate enough where I work at Fox Rehab that we actually get a reduction in our productivity. So we have time to dedicate to you guys, which is another really great
question to ask. Yep.
Yes. But I have a new grad right now who was a student of mine. And even so that, you know, you think that's an easy transition. She already knows everything, you know, but first couple of weeks, she would call me five times a day. Sometimes she'd be like, I am so sorry. I have another question. I know I should know this. And I said, please stop saying that you should know this because that's why I'm here to help you. That's my role.
And knowing you can ask that question takes that knot out of your GI tract and kind of unties it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Now you get to ask the question.
You're still going to be anxious and nervous
happen. Okay. And you'll be available. You'll be having drinks with the Flying Saucer, right?
Yeah,
if anybody has any questions about that. Because you handle how many students does the mentorship program handle at Fox? So you see a lot. You're always on phone calls.
Yes, always. We check in at month 1, 3, and 6, make sure that you are getting what you need from the program. And your voice matters to us. We are one of the practices that really loves to take new grads. And we're asking at 6 months, what did you like about the program? What didn't you like? What would you do differently? And we've changed our program based on that feedback. And we've been doing this for a really long time, since 2006. So we have over a decade of experience, and we're still changing our program. We have, you know, another thing to ask is the ramp up period. You know, are you going to have a 2-day orientation and then here's your caseload, sink or swim? We don't
do that. I have several classmates who had that. That was super fun.
We don't
fun.
Do that to anybody. Yeah. So, you know, we have a 2-month ramp up. You're not even seeing full productivity until the 3rd month.
That's cool. Email address, if anyone wanted to ask you a question, what's yours?
Constance.Lewis@foxrehab.org.
It's here for Connie.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now Snapchat. PT Pintcast. And online at ptpintcast.com.
The show is brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Aureus, and I do on the show, because they've supported us from the start. But what Aureus does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states. In all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are, talk to a recruiter, and again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything, all right? You just get to go do the thing you want to do, treat patients, where you want to do it, and get paid for it. Aureus is just the person to make that happen. AureusMedical.com. That is where you can find them, talk to a recruiter there. Paid travel and housing, benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states, a variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments, even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country getting paid to be a PT. AureusMedical.com.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with the APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at PTOutcomes.com/go. That's PTOutcomes.com/go. The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association. And we're back.
Let's get back to the show now. All right, USC, are you still there? We got two more right now. We're doubling up. Next guest is Reed from the House Handlery.
That's right.
He wrote his own intro. First of his name. He was born in California, but raised in the plains of Illinois. He married his high school sweetheart in 2012, Casey. The same year they moved to South Carolina for Casey to begin PT school. So you were the leader.
I was the leader.
Well, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I just jumped right in. It's a cool story. So you started PT school here, and you both came, and then Then what happened?
So I followed Casey. We both graduated high school at the same time. Or sorry, undergrad at the same time. And so Casey kind of knew a long time before because she's a planner. And she knew she wanted to do physical therapy. I still had, even today, I don't have any idea what I want to do. And so I followed around. I was kind of doing some volunteer work for that year, kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. And eventually she said, Reed, you got to do something. I said, well, what's physical therapy like? I always had an interest in health and wellness and kind of the strength and conditioning realm. And so I woke up and I said, you know, I need to apply myself a little bit more. My mom always says that to me. Took my wife's advice and said, you know, let's make a career change. This is a growing field and I can actually make a difference in the health of people. And
that's cool. Let's hear for that.
That's cool.
So now came to USC and didn't stop there though, right?
Correct. So after graduating with my DPT, I took, what was it, Casey? 9 months.
9 months.
And I went back to school. Because I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And so now I'm currently a PhD student finishing my first year of PhD school. I don't know if it's kind of weird to call it that, but I guess I'll call it that. So finishing my first year of PhD school at USC, an opportunity kind of presented itself where my mentor kind of had similar interests to me, which is good. And she kind of encouraged me to come back and kind of take the next step. And so the reason I even chose PhD, I never really found my niche in clinical practice. After all my rotations, I still kind of was left with some questions and still didn't know what I wanted to do with life. So I decided to go the PhD route.
Why not just keep going to school?
So
I like it.
This fall will be my 22nd grade of school.
No problem. That's good.
And now, just keeps on going.
He keeps on going. Now, Casey, you kept going too after PT school. And where'd you go to?
So I work at Palmetto Health Richland as an acute care therapist. And then luckily, well, I was first employed, sorry, let me restart, as a research physical therapist under Dr. Jill Stewart. She kind of led me into that position, tried to get me to get my PhD, and I have not made that commitment yet, maybe down the road, and then became an acute care therapist. And then most recently took an adjunct faculty position within USC, teaching about what I do every day in acute care physical therapy.
That's cool.
It is cool.
You guys are really keeping it in the family and keeping it in the Gamecock family.
Yes.
Here. Yeah, I like it. So you mentioned acute care physical therapy, trauma ICU therapy. I don't know how long, 5, 10, 15 years ago, that really wasn't a thing, and now it's becoming a thing. It's a thing.
It's definitely a
thing. It's a thing now.
Don't say it's not.
Okay.
It's a thing. So
tell me about the thing.
Okay. So as anyone who's taken my class knows, I'm super passionate about acute care physical therapy. And I think dosing an outpatient is just as important in the acute care environment when our patients are at their absolute sickest. They can still move and they still do things. And so we need them to move more and do more things, right? And we just need them to do it as early as possible, including when they're on a ventilator. So we'll walk people when they're on a ventilator. We'll exercise while we're on a ventilator. There's no reason we can't. So we just do it in a very safe, controlled environment. But the earlier we can get these patients moving, the better they are and the sooner they get back to their prior level of function.
So we know that. Yeah, keep you can clap for that. Yeah. So we know that. Science says that. We don't believe it. We don't think it. We don't feel it. Science knows that. But there are two other groups in that equation, right? You're the therapist. You're in the room and someone is on a ventilator. Now there are the other healthcare practitioners and then there's the person who's on the ventilator. Briefly, how do you convince them that yes, I should be allowed to move this patient. In fact, it's in their best interest for me to move this patient as vigorously as I think that they can do. And how do you tell the patient that they have to get out of bed when they're on the ventilator?
So luckily the patients are somewhat sedated sometimes. So we can convince them to do just about everything. And honestly, they're so ready to move. So they've been lying in a bed potentially sometimes for days before we get consulted, which is something we're trying to change. And so they're excited to move. They want to move. It's usually the other staff members that are not as motivated because God forbid you touch my patient. They're stable right now. Please don't do anything that's going to make them tachycardic.
Do not break the patient.
Do not break our patients.
I just put them back together.
Yes, pretty much. And so it's been a long road of education, but honestly, at Palmetto Health Richland, we have an amazing early mobility team with our occupational therapists, our physical therapists, our nursing staff is way on board compared to, I think, some hospitals across the nation. And our entire team, including our physicians assistants and nurse practitioners, we're all on board, especially in the trauma ICU, where we're up and moving and getting these patients up day one sometimes, as long as the patient is stable. So as soon as we possibly can, we actually are lucky to have a great team.
Well, that's good. You did it from top down. I mean, it came from within. I remember as a student going into acute care, and I was in Washington, D.C., and trying to convince certain patients who had a knee replacement that morning. It was a lot like a Richard Pryor comedy sketch, a lot like Chris Rock, from them on why they definitely were not getting out of bed that morning.
For sure.
And I was like a second year PT student, so I was like, honestly, I'm not gonna make you get out of bed because you're gonna hurt me. But I bet the more you do it, the more you realize the great ways. Plus the sedation helps, right?
Sedation definitely helps.
That's good. We want to go back to read the role of PT in primary prevention and wellness long before we need or get to that acute situation. You know, what's that mean to you? Why are you passionate about that?
So primary prevention, obviously we know that most of the diseases we suffer from as humans, especially Americans, are non-communicable and preventable in the first place. Stroke, for instance, we know we can prevent pretty much 80% of them. Yet we just keep on giving them, keep on getting them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's every PT's role, regardless of where they see the patient, regardless of the setting, to instill some of that primary prevention on the patient, whether that's through education or hooking them up with the proper provider or something like that. I think we always need to be screening for those types of things because in one aspect, it gives us job security. You know, people keep having strokes, but we don't want that. No. There's going to be plenty of strokes regardless, even if we reduce it by 20%. I just made that number up. But I think PTs are in a really apt position to advocate for primary prevention because we see these patients every day. We build rapport with them. They tend to like us. And I think we're just in a good position to set ourselves up for that. And I think we owe it to ourselves and the human species.
Yeah, I was going to follow that. The human species, yeah. Yeah, this is, along with trauma, ICU, primary prevention, health 2.0 is another thing that 5, 10, 15 years ago wasn't a thing, and now we know it is a thing with people like Mike Eisenhart. And I'm glad that people like you are still kind of, you know, working towards that. Do you bring any of that into your PhD research? I forgot to ask you, like, what was that really on?
So I definitely know it's going to be with chronic stroke survivors. And good. Although at that point it won't be primary prevention, secondary stroke is a huge real issue.
Sure.
So preventing that is kind of big. So getting people moving even after stroke is kind of what
I like that. A lot of parallels between you two.
Yeah, we live together.
Yeah. This guy's got a punchline. I like it. So another parallel, teaching students. Kind of both have a little dabble in that.
Yeah, she actually, despite me getting the PhD, she actually got a job teaching before I did, which is interesting. She's always better than me.
She's a one-upper, bro. That's tough to live with.
And if she starts her PhD soon, she'll probably get that done before me too. But hopefully she doesn't do that. But yes, teaching, I think that's kind of where you spread everything. A lot of what I've learned is from teachers, and a lot of the practices that I do as a clinician, I learned from mentors that I've worked with. So you can always just build upon, you know, stand on the shoulders of giants, so to speak, and build on what your mentors have done. Right. And I think that's...
Casey, is it heavy that he's standing on your shoulders since you're the giant? Or
he's always stood on my shoulders.
Teaching for you, what do you love to get out of it the most?
So I love teaching them everything I know. You can tell from my 100-something slides. Josh can tell you a little bit about that. I want you to know as much as you can before you go out in the field, especially when you're working with my patients, who are the most, you know, critical, that you need to know everything before you go see these patients. And so it just puts a good thought in your head whenever you're sending students out and they're 100% prepared to go on their clinical rotations. So I just like making them 100% prepared.
Does she do that really well?
Yeah.
Like it. I can't skip over this. Reed was on a mediocre reality television show. I
hate that that's the most interesting thing about me. I really do.
What was the show?
So the show was NBC. I don't know if NBC is going to hear. They're going
to
find me.
No one listens to my show besides my mom. Don't worry about
NBC,
it.
NBC, what was it called? Spartan
Ultimate Team Challenge.
So it was a reality competitive. It wasn't reality. It was a competitive show. Basically, it was an obstacle race where me and four team members
in very tight
compression tank tops.
They know how to
sell
it.
We're on national television, competing for $250,000 for the team.
Yeah,
we didn't win.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're also currently training for a 24. You love the obstacle races. You're training for a 24-hour obstacle race.
Yeah, I'm by no means a great athlete, but I do like to do something new and do something that challenges me. And so I've never done anything for 24 hours. So
yeah, I've laid around for 24 hours. That's about it. Let's hear it for Reed and Casey.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, University of South Carolina Gamecocks, where are you? It's been fun. We learned a lot. And now it's time to talk to one of our students. Third-year PT student at the University of South Carolina, Robin Culbertson. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Robin, you were the reason that the show came to South Carolina.
Yep.
Not going to take much to twist my arm to get me to come to South Carolina.
True, because you like South Carolina.
I love South Carolina. Right. I lived here for a couple of years before PT school, and we kind of connected because we're weird.
The same person.
We're also the same person. So let's go through all the samesies that we have. So you had a 15-year career in magazine writing, editing, and graphic design.
Right.
I had a 15-year career in radio broadcasting and production.
Sure, same thing.
Pretty similar there.
Yeah.
You came to PT after a career in broadcasting and journalism. We do the same. Triathlons.
Yes.
What do you do? What's your distance? What do you like?
I like the sprint.
Like the sprint?
Like the sprint.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I like
short and over fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
I'm not very good though. I'm not fast.
Well, I think triathlon is a sport that allows me to be mediocre at three things in one day.
Exactly. Exactly. Why be good at one sport when you can be mediocre at three?
That's what I do.
Yep.
Did you say your dad? What did he do?
Volunteer firefighter.
My dad, firefighter.
See?
We just found out all these parallels like today.
It's crazy.
It's a little cool. But talk about your 15-year career in magazine writing, editing, graphic design. That's not a normal prereq for PT
school.
It's not.
It's kind of
on par with radio. It's not really helping.
I had to do a lot of actual prereqs to get ready for it. But so I originally thought that I would go into medicine when I went to college. Originally decided that biology was too hard, didn't want to study for that. So writing I can do, that was easy. So I decided to become a journalist, went to graduate school here at USC, got a job here, at a local magazine, worked there for 15 years, kind of moved my way up to the pinnacle of where I was going to be there, and then started thinking, well, what do I want to do next?
Now what?
So,
what was the flavor of the magazine? What were the kind of
lifestyle,
stories you'd
kind
tell?
Of,
so cool, fun,
mm-hmm, yeah, fun
human
stuff.
Stories right, and stuff
right.
like that.
A lot of home design and construction, things like that.
That's cool.
A lot of house stuff.
And everything here in Columbia in the
mm-hmm,
area?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a great little magazine.
And I was kind of similar in that when I was 10, I was like, I'm going to run a radio station. And then I actually did it. That was cool. But then the question is, what do I do next? What am I lacking? What were you lacking in that career?
What I liked about that career was talking to people and getting their stories. And that became less and less of what I had to do every day. Most of what I had to do every day was sit behind a computer and just kind of run things. And that just became less and less fun. So I started coaching triathletes. So I decided, well, there's a ready-made population if I go into physical therapy. So that's what led me to PT.
And mine was similar. It was creepy how like we're the same person.
Yeah.
I got to the point where the creativity side of my job was going down because I had been promoted out of the job that I was having fun with. And I was training for my first long-distance triathlon. And the guys that I was training with were PTs.
Okay.
So they were in my ear for 2, 3, 4 hours while we were on long bike rides.
Because
if you've ever ridden a bike for 2, 3, 4 hours, you will talk about literally
everything.
Just tell me about shoe patterns and wear patterns and whatever. So I like this. So I like to draw these parallels. I gave a talk at National Student Conclave a couple years ago because I had a weird, PT journey. And I literally just said, it's just a straight line. I connected two dots that mm-hmm. shouldn't normally be connected. And then next thing you know, podcast. How are you going to connect your background in magazine editing? What are you doing?
So what I told you about the story, I like people's stories. I think that's what has made... I just finished my skilled nursing clinical, so I found out that I really like geriatrics a lot because I like their stories and talking to these people, and these people have they don't have anybody who wants to listen to them talk all day. I'll do it all day
history,
long. I love it,
man.
And they do. It's great stories. So I feel like I can get a connection with my patients.
That's cool.
Because of that background of being able to interview people and talk to people.
What does that do when you start getting someone telling you their history?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a relationship. It sounds like therapeutic alliance to me. But really, for you, it's what you were so used to doing every single day for a decade and a half.
Right.
So that helps. We didn't think that magazine writing, editing, and graphic design helped.
You wouldn't think
radio interviewing, but yeah, I do a hell of a subjective exam, I'll tell you.
Exactly.
Usually takes about 45 minutes.
It does. My exams are very long.
Yeah, a lot of times really I'm like, what are you here for? Knee? Shoulder? I have no idea. Who cares? You got a cool story. I also like the fact that you came in through triathlons, which is traditionally, I don't want to be ageist, younger populations, and then you've went through PT school. That's why I open the show up a lot of times asking students, do you definitely know where you're going to go? And some people say, yeah.
Yeah.
And you thought triathletes, boom, the next thing you know, you want to work with older adults.
Right.
That's cool. Keep your mind open. Even while you're out in practice, maybe you want to switch. Who knows? Advocacy and volunteerism, that's what you're passionate about, even as a student, on a local and a national level. Talk about that. Give me the why.
So I don't know if maybe it's just because I thought, all right, I'm not a great student. I'm a good student. I'm not a great student.
B's get degrees,
and
baby.
I thought, So I thought, what else can I do to set myself apart? So I just decided to volunteer to make myself, you know, known to everybody in the community as much as I could just by being there and being around. So I volunteer with, we volunteered with the Special Olympics this past weekend.
Yeah,
did
you guys do that? Really?
That was great.
I want to hear for that. That's awesome.
Yep. So we did that this past weekend. I volunteer with Yoga for Everyone, and next at the YMCA, which Reed is part of, and Stacy.
Give a real brief. What's Yoga for Everyone?
So Yoga for Everyone is we do, what I do is I volunteer to assist patients who have had spinal cord injury or neurological injury or any reason why they can't do a normal yoga pose. I help them. Our instructor adapts the poses so that they can do them, and then I just help support and help them get into the pose as much as I can.
That's cool.
It's really
yoga
cool.
For
it's
everyone. Really
yoga for
everyone. I
should have
known when it was when I read the title.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm a little slow.
So it's really cool. And next at the YMCA is something else that we do. This is Stacy's big program, and like I said, Reed's been working on that too.
And what is that one?
We're helping long-term stroke survivors kind of become more independent in their exercising, kind of taking ownership of fitness and being healthy.
Yeah. So I like that. It's here for both those programs.
Yeah. They're great.
And to tie it in with, I mean, I love when you do shows like this. I have some notes, but you also get some parallels. I helped a group of people who are all living post-stroke and traumatic brain injury launch their own podcast. So they were doing speech therapy, and I interviewed them, and I was like, hey, you know, it'd be a great way to do speech therapy, record it, and share it with other people who are post-stroke or post-traumatic brain injury, and let them hear what life is like. Like, hey, what's sex life after after a stroke? They can tell you in their own words. So that's actually on iTunes now. It's called A Slow Road to Better. Really, really, really great insight. So I love when those things kind of come full circle. It just made me think of that. Why should students really get involved? I mean, you said you did it so you'd be known, but why should other students do it?
It's a good networking opportunity to get involved. And also,
I got you.
I mean, I feel like it also helps you understand, all right, here's why I'm taking all these classes. You do get your clinicals, and the way ours is set up, fortunately, we get clinicals every year instead of stacked all at the end. So we do get the clinical throughout the program. But to be able to volunteer on a regular basis really helps you just kind of know, you know, this is why what I'm doing is important.
Perspective.
Like,
That sounds like something a journalist would say.
Yeah.
Getting perspective right there. You see where things are cyclical. You ready for your parting shot?
My parting shot.
This is the parting shot. Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. The Brooks IHL hosting their third annual scholarly symposium. That's on May 19th in Jacksonville, Florida. Chad Cook is the keynote speaker. The day is filled with evidence-based scholarly activities. You do not want to miss it. Register today at brooksihl.org.
All right, so what would you want to leave with the audience? What's your drop the mic moment? But don't, because I own that microphone.
Since the audience is mostly students, I'll just tell you guys what I probably tell you all the time. Volunteer, get involved, go to conference.
Boom. It's here for Robin.
This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, so we're almost done. I know, the bar is calling. I can hear it. We wanted to give you guys an opportunity to ask anybody on stage a question. You can single somebody out. You can ask a global question. You've always wanted to ask a professor a question. I will ask, and I will make them answer it. They have to. So what have you always wanted to know? Or maybe it's something you guys you heard from tonight that really made you think and you were like, oh, I wish he would have asked that question, but Jimmy forgot to ask the follow-up. So what do you want to know? Who wants to go first? Everybody always doesn't mind going second. All right, Stacy in the back.
I want to know why Alicia and Casey chose USC for the DPT program. They both came to us from Illinois, same place.
Oh, you guys with the connection from... Yeah, so why did you I'll repeat the question just so we can have it on tape. Why did you choose University of South Carolina coming all the way from where you guys did?
Martha Haynes, who many of you are familiar with, was a giant beacon in getting into PT school. Little known fact, I did not get into PT school my first year. Was a rehab tech and applied again, and Martha Haynes was this like beacon at the end that said, "Come here. You will be welcome here." And I came and I loved it, obviously, because I'm back. I'm a 2008 grad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Casey, same question.
For myself, similar to Josh, I looked at their exercise science program in general, too, and saw the parallels that this school has an awesome exercise science program. And then Martha, again, I think everyone would probably say this. She's just a catalyst for bringing awesome students to this program and somehow convincing Reed and I to stay here for 3 more years after I've graduated. We're still here and we love it. So I think, you know, the exercise science program in general brought me here, and then Martha again.
Okay. Who's got a question? You've got questions. We've got answers. I'll do a yes or no and then a one breath. What that means is you get to answers for everybody. Yes or no, and then you can say anything you want in one breath. 10 years from now, your vision of what physical therapy can be, will we get there? Start at the end, and Alicia. So you're 10 years from now, that thing, like everybody knowing plasticity is it, and now we're always, always, always doing it, are we going to get there? And what's it look like?
Yes, maybe not in 10 years, maybe a little bit longer than 10 years, but we need all of you students to be change agents.
She got what yes in one breath means. She got it. It's whatever your vision is, are we going to get there?
So just like the military model, the gatekeepers for all things musculoskeletal, neuromusculoskeletal.
Okay. What do you think?
I'll say yes, similar on that kind of primary care provider. You're limited direct access. You can go to your PT for anything that's neuromusculoskeletal before you have to go to anyone else, and it's just known that that's where you go for those issues.
That's cool. I like that. I would like to see that as well. All right. Yes in one breath. Pass them down. Don't hog the mic.
So I think sticking on my acute care realm, I imagine early mobility in every hospital across the nation with physical therapists and our occupational therapists spearheading that, and I think it will definitely happen.
Boom. Like how you reversed it. Yes, at the end. I like it. Curveball. It's good. Go for it.
Can I preface by saying I'm a pessimist?
That's okay.
No, unfortunately, because there's too many hurdles to go over for preventable disease, and I don't think we're going to get there alone as PT, but I think as students and as we promote it at USC that we can get in a better direction leading towards people, towards more health and wellness. I haven't taken a breath yet. I'm still doing pretty good, and I'm out now.
Yeah, going on the end was a bad move for that one. Sorry. You got to follow that.
I'm going to be hopeful and say yes, that... I think that PTs can be change agents with community, like helping, partnering with other healthcare professionals and other, you know, coaches. Students, they're young and they have a lot of energy and they're going to get us there. So.
All right. She has faith in you, students. That's what she's trying to say. All right. Time for one last question. Everybody got one? Burning desire? Yeah. No?
Reed. You got it again.
Yes. Absolutely. So it wasn't no that I don't think we'll ever get there. It was the 10-year thing. I'm a realist too. So I think it all starts with you know, what you teach and what your mentor says. So if it's not in the curriculum, if you don't talk about preventing diseases in the first place, it's not going to happen. Then also, I think on the clinical side, just implementing little things and then being the best PT you can, showing that your services are valuable, showing that you have a role in primary prevention, showing results, showing that we can actually prevent things like stroke through exercise in a PT realm. I think that's what's gonna make the difference there. So yeah. I think we're heading there by providing quality care, but I'm thinking 13 years. Maybe.
Yeah, I said 10. I gave you the. But it is. It's hard to show value in something that you prevented from happening. It's like, I'm a really, really good, you know, lifeguard because nobody drowned today. I was like, well, we could have had a crappy lifeguard and no one drowned too. So it's hard to prove that you're worth $10 more an hour. So we have to do that. And I think the good thing is our profession's working more towards numbers. We're like, great. So that third party pay over here in the creepy corner, I got a bunch of numbers because you're a numbers, you know, based system in terms of paying. So if we start to get more robust numbers, I hope we can start to say, hey, we are valuable, and we can start to knock down those strokes that we can prevent. What is 80% preventable? I'd love to see that. So I like how you disagree. That's a good conversation. Just go on. Last minute question. No, I want to thank you guys for having us out here. I this is what I love. I use the words love and hate very infrequently because I want to mean them. Love coming to do stuff like this, especially with students. So thank you to University of South Carolina for having us down here. Appreciate it. You can catch this episode on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Usually have it up within a week or two to listen to. And always like when you guys subscribe or follow us online. And reach out if there's someone out there, a professor, a colleague, a CI, someone we should be hearing from, someone who's interesting, got a great story to tell. I want to tell it. And I want to share it with the profession so that we can, you know, go forth in the next 10 years, do all these great visions. So I'll see you guys at PT Pub Night, Flying Saucer, 931 Senate Street. My name is Drew McKay for PT Pinecast. Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
PT Pinecast supports Go Baby Go,
a national community-based research, design, and outreach program that provides modified ride-on cars to children birth to age 3 who experience limited mobility. Founded by Cole Galloway from the University of Delaware. For more information about how you can build your own cars or start your own chapter, visit udel.edu/gobabygo.